When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
Welcome to our show.
Start with a little introduction. How's that? Is that okay?
Let's do it. Yeah,
okay,
let's go.
I'm gonna do it. She's a writer, producer, a television showrunner. As a screenwriter, she's known for creating New Girl, the rom-com.
You good?
Are you okay?
I'm nervous. So good, guys. It takes me like at least only 14 times to read something through to get it out properly. Okay. Guys, she's a writer, a producer, television showrunner, and as a screenwriter, she's known for No Strings Attached, ABC sitcom Single Parents, and Bless This Mess. And she was nominated for an Emmy for writing and producing the critically acclaimed Hulu drama The Dropout. She's also an accomplished playwright. And guys, she created New Girl.
New Girl.
Please welcome the one, the only, also the hottest writer I know, Liz Merriweather.
Liz.
You obviously don't know many writers. I just want to be clear, because this is audio, that I am not hot.
You are very hot. You are very hot.
Very hot.
What's up? Welcome to our show.
I'm so excited to be here. This is amazing. I can't believe you guys are doing this.
I mean, this is how much we love the show and love each other, that we're all back still hanging out every week. That's what you did. That's what you did.
No,
we miss you, though, Liz. We miss you.
I know. I miss you
so
guys,
nice
too.
To see your
and
face.
It's really nice to be here, like, talking to you guys about the show, because it's like... It was. I don't know. I it's such a crazy experience of being like so close to so many people, and then like it just ending, and you're like having to kind of move on with your life.
No, we love it, and it's true. It's like I feel like the only thing you can kind of compare it to is like going to like middle and high school with like the same group of people that you get really close to, and all of a sudden you graduate, and you're like, wait, I don't get to see those people every day.
Yeah,
it's so strange.
It's very strange, and also I think all of us were like, you know, in our like 20s or early 30s, and then it was just like a real like period of time in our lives, you know. That was like a very Sure, Lamont. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good.
Well, I was only 19, so it was kind of weird.
We're babies. We're just babies.
Children.
Well, we got you. We got you here. And we're very excited about it. We've been talking about it for a long time. I know fans have been talking about it for a long time. But, you know, and this won't be a traditional interview episode. We're not going to interview you. You know, you've answered enough questions. I might ask you a question here or there, but this won't be that typical interview episode of Welcome to Our Show. Instead, we're going to actually, you know, break down an episode with you. It's the finale of season one. We're just going to talk about it a little bit, maybe share some thoughts that we have on this episode, and just go through it a little bit and play some games, some weird games, which, you know, which we do so well here. I'm going to start by just giving a little quick recap of the episode for folks out there who maybe hadn't seen it in a while. So here we go. On this week's episode, everyone is in love, but they're too afraid to say it. So Jess, she grows desperate to convince Nick to stay at the loft as his move-out day is slowly approaching. So some of what Jess must, what she said must have sunk in with Nick, obviously, because he starts to freak out. He starts to go a little crazy on his way to Caroline's apartment, and he ends up driving the guys to the desert. Now, for a second, it seems like Nick has calmed down a little bit, but when Winston mentions taking him to Caroline's, Nick tosses his keys off of a cliff. What a stupid move. Now, Jess arrives to save the day, obviously, but seeing Nick in a hurry to get to Caroline causes Jess to also, quote unquote, throw her keys into the wilderness as well. Also a stupid move. Now then, Schmidt tells Jess he's breaking up with Cece because he doesn't think that he can make her happy, which he probably cannot. Now she begins to view her actions as selfish and encourages Nick to follow his heart, which he does right back to the loft. Now let's get back to the podcast and let's dive right on in. Do you remember this, guys?
Yeah.
Do you remember all this? I remember it because I just watched it.
This was your story,
right? Yeah, I just watched it.
You came up with the story for this first season finale.
Hearing the recap just tells you like how convoluted there were so many like holes in this story. Like, I mean, not to mention like where we shot it, you could see cars going by, and just, so it's like clearly like they could have gotten to civilization like very easily. Also, anybody could have found anyone's keys like within an hour. You know, like it's not like there's not like they're not like throwing them into like the ocean. Anything. Yeah, it's like one of those episodes that's, I mean, the finale, it's like the first season is so exciting, but we were also just all so wiped out. We were so tired that you could kind of like see that in the story breaking. But I still love it so much, and I have like a really like deep love of it because I feel like it was, you know, it was just such an accomplishment that first season. I just remember being like, I can't believe that, you know, we're doing a finale. Like this show.
Where did that initial idea come from? Like, I saw that this story was by you, right? You are the one who came up with this season finale. And so where did that idea come from for Nick to just keep driving and end up in the desert?
First of all, the credits aren't always exactly accurate in terms of like who does what. And I don't honestly remember. I think it was probably... I don't remember like who came up with like the specifics of the story. I remember being really excited about him having all of his stuff from his room and just being able to like set up his room in the desert and like that. And I really loved the visual of that and just kind of like all of you guys like sitting out in the desert with like his stuff and, you know, like bundled up with his clothes. And I also loved the mixtape and the like music and the kind of like those crazy old songs and kind of, like,
I love that yeah. Frame of the mixtape is like one of my favorite things about this episode is that like the mixtape kind of like moves the story along. Like it bookends it, and then, you know, like it also makes like those moments memorable. Like each moment like kind of has a song associated with it, and then they're like kind of, you know, a lot of them are from the 90s, and then, you know, there's obviously that AC/DC song like at the very end, but it's a fun way to kind of like get that like the kind of like nice accompaniment to like the emotional arc of the episode.
Yeah, I really love that part too. I love that part of the episode much more than the details of the plot, which are not amazing. But like I think it's like a really classic New Girl story in that, like I said, there's like problems with the structure, but it. And I love that sort of not a lot happens. Like I think like what this story feels like, it's more of a almost a vibe, you know, where you're just like, okay, it's a bunch of people in the desert kind of freaking out about moving forward. And so they're just stuck there. And there's a literal moving van, you know? So I thought that was a kind of good feeling to
it's like a one
that,
act
that
play
season. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really like that thing, about it.
The other thing I say is like I know you said in the recap, which like I said was a difficult to follow, but but you were saying in the recap that everyone was in love, but I actually think that what was tricky about this episode was that Jess couldn't realize that she was wanting Nick to stay because she was in love with him. Like that wasn't happening yet, you know? So I think there was a little bit of, and Nick couldn't also realize that it all had to be subtext between them, but they had to kind of make these big decisions for some reason or another, you know? So I think
Winston
that
was afraid
was
of the
tricky.
Dark. Yes. Everyone was alone. Winston was just roaming around.
I was going to say that. I was like, I feel like you brought me on this podcast to like formally apologize to you.
Let's start from the beginning,
Winston.
Liz.
Season well, one Winston.
For your story in this episode.
Where is Winston at emotionally when he comes up the hill with pants tied around his head? That's what I want to know.
He's in love with an animal he probably just spent the night
never,
with.
We definitely never revisited your fear of the dark on the show. Like, that never resurfaced.
Did we need to?
He conquered it. That's what happened out there. He conquered it.
Yeah. You know, one of the best things about the episode when I rewatched it, I realized, and it's kind of one of those like art blurring into life and vice versa things, is that we all were so tired. It was a long season and we did it and we were all literally in the desert. It was like, I feel like over an hour drive and we had to all be there all day. It was dusty and hot. And you just see moments, you genuinely see moments of Jake instead of Nick. Like when he's doing breakfast at Tiffany's, his character is supposed to be obsessed with that song and he doesn't know the words. And it's just Jake being like, I'm just going to bop, bop, bop my way through it and just commit. And that's just Jake. And you see Max when he's trying to hold Jake back.
When he kisses Lamar. Him on the mouth at the end.
Oh, at the end. Yeah.
Max Greenfield. Not
no, this is. This is in the desert. You see Max break out of the fight with the biggest smile on his face that he was just hugging Jake like that. And that's just pure Max. That was not a Schmidt moment. And like, it was just nice to see like all of these I don't know, parts of ourselves just kind of bleed through
tired.
Into the show.
We were all very tired.
No, and it worked. I feel like it was like, it was the beginning of that, like,
yes.
the fusing of it was like the character with the actor. You know, I feel like by the end of season one, it was like, I don't know about you guys, but I was like shocked that it was that big of a hit and I was exhausted and it felt like both exciting and like the end of a marathon. Like I was running on fumes at that point. And I feel like everyone was. And so, you know, it's like at that point, I think we were all like a little bit giddy too. Like it was kind of like, oh my God, this is over for.
That's right. It was
like,
the last
like,
night.
Have a break. And like, you know.
It's a great like analogy because I don't know if anybody has ever been to like the end of a marathon. Like when you see people running off.
I've done a few. Yeah.
It is insane because people like literally like just start crying, collapse, like are euphoric. There's so many different emotions like at the end of like a very, very long run. Like I did feel like at the end, like we had so many emotions. It was very satisfying. It was very like exciting to finish it. But we also like did 24 episodes Like, I'd never done even, like, I mean, I think I'd done, like, a few episodes of TV, but I'd never done anything but movies before this. I hadn't done 24 episodes of TV is a lot.
I could tell you, for me, I think it's because of the exhaustion was where I felt like this episode definitely helped me as far as character development. Prior to this episode, I know I talk about all the time how in my head I was. I was just trying to keep up with everyone and trying to figure out who this character was. And this episode, probably because of the exhaustion, you know, there was a lot of freedom for me to just say a bunch of silly shit. And and it worked. And I thought, man, that's what everyone has been doing on this show. Like, everyone is just being silly. And
like, I don't have to be really good at basketball.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. It's fine that I got small fingers. It's fine. I think that the exhaustion for sure definitely helped me, and the storyline obviously did. Silly shit, I'm afraid of the dark and then there were wolves, and I think that type of stuff definitely helps prepare you for the future of the you know, a seven season run for sure.
I want to ask a question to everybody. It's like, take a survey. Has anybody spent meaningful time with a coyote, like, before this experience?
I've seen him down a road, and I nod respectfully, and I back away.
Yeah, they run through my neighborhood, but that's about it.
Did you ever spend meaningful time with a coyote before this episode?
Oh, my God. I was just going to say, like, I remember, like, that is what I remember, like, so clearly. Was like, because we were shooting nights. But like the night was like, we were shooting night at the end of the week, I think that, because we would always schedule the nights for the end of the week. And that was really when I was just like, I was living in like a dream state. And then I was like, I think it was like one of the last things we shot. And there was, it was just the amount of like everyone has to be still and quiet. And like standing up against the rock or something, and then like this like cage with a coyote walked down like past all of the crew members who were like standing quietly, and I was like
when Prince was there.
I was like, no comment. But like, yeah, I think like I was like so terrified. It was just like, oh my God, what is this coyote gonna do? And then like they open the cage and it's like this little guy. It's like this little cute like coyote that looks like really cute and well fed and like well taken care of and like all this stuff. And then I was like, oh my God, we wrote this whole scene where like Nick and Jess are so afraid of this coyote that they're frozen for like a really long time together, like stuck there. And then you would like cut over to the coyote and it was like the cutest little like, animal. And it was like, nothing about this episode makes any sense, like story wise. Like, they obviously would have just like walked away from that coyote. Like, what was that? Like, what was that coyote going to do to them? Like, it was so, that was like so crazy. And I also remember Biz, like, I don't remember the details, but like, we definitely couldn't get the coyote to like do anything we needed it to do. And we definitely couldn't get the coyote to look scary at all. And so it was just, and we were running out of time. And like, you know, so it's just like putting a camera on this like poor, sweet, sweet little guy and like trying to get him to like do anything that was at all menacing or like as if he were wanting to eat anybody or hungry. I don't know.
Comanche. Do you remember this? His name was Comanche. The coyote's name is Comanche.
That's problematic.
Great. Agree. But he was, they were like, this was a lot of acting. Like, there was a lot of acting because the coyote was scared of us. Like, they were like, he's terrified of you. So we, like, most of our side, there was like no coyote, obviously. The coyote wasn't doing off-camera acting for us. But the coyote, like, whenever we were like all in a shot together, we basically couldn't move because the coyote would just literally run away because coyotes are scared. Coyotes are scared of humans.
What I like the most about this coyote is that he kept hissing. It was like a little hiss.
That's Mike probably added afterwards.
Did he do his own ADR?
That was added, yeah. Lamorne. That was added.
I know. That was probably you, Lamorne. And they probably like, could you give us some few hisses? We just need them for the episode. Don't ask questions.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you brought that up, Lamorne. And I like totally forgot that we added that because we couldn't, because it wasn't scary like at all. Yeah. Oh my God. I totally forgot that.
You may as well have added "muhahaha" to his voice because it still wasn't scary.
The coyote. There was a lot of editing. There was a lot of acting. There was a lot of editing that had to be done to like really lift the coyote up.
I totally had forgotten the like that we added those hisses, and I'm so glad that you brought it up because I was like that was the main issue, was like it was not scary at all, and so we like needed to like put little like I don't know like as if that isn't scary. You're just like, what animal is that? Because coyotes don't. So it's like maybe scary because you're like, is that an actually a coyote? The other thing I remember, I feel like I actually watched the episode on television for some reason, which I never really had. I usually would watch the episodes online. But like they on television, they had put. It's like so old, like you actually watch it on television when it was airing, but like they put like a hashtag meep meep like over
over let's the make scene. Meep they meep were, like, go viral
like, hashtag meep
it's
meep
it's trending.
I remember it was just like, I was like such a like artiste and I was like, they've ruined this scene, they've
meep meep. Oh my goodness.
One of my favorite things about that scene is that Nick is hiding behind Jess the entire scene, like really aggressively holding you, Zoe, and trying to small his body behind you.
No, he wasn't hiding. He wasn't hiding. He was trying to calm her down. He was trying to get her to stop saying meep meep. He was trying to protect her. Okay.
She's using Jess as a human shield.
That's what I would have done.
Do you guys remember shooting the dancing?
Yes, yes. I remember. You know, it's actually funny because watching it, I'm like, everybody's got some moves. There's some good moves. Did Max do a backflip onto the bed?
He did a backflip.
He looked like he was made out of paper. I was like, how did he do that?
Yeah, I did not dance. Because my character wouldn't do that in that moment because I was all about character. And so I just banged on the wall.
I was watching the dancing and all I could think was, wow, that looks exhausting. And cathartic, maybe, to like go totally insane and get to do whatever you want feels good, but also exhausting.
Yeah.
I feel like season one was the only time, like Jake just got like more, like less and less enthusiastic about doing any dance scenes, like as the show went on. And I remember like this season, he like was like up for anything, like did the dance.
My question.
Get it in while you can.
Yeah, exactly.
We talked about, and then we'll go to a break, but we talked about a little bit about the music. A couple questions. The budget must have been so high having, you know, unless these songs are just super cheap. The music budget.
I don't think so.
The music budget, AC/DC, How Bizarre, Breakfast at Tiffany's. That's insane.
I know. I think because the finale as a whole wasn't that expensive, you know, like I think it was like, okay, we're like going to this desert. I mean, I don't remember the details, thank God, but you know, and I can't imagine that Comanche, the coyote, was that expensive. And
the moving truck wasn't that expensive.
Yeah. So like, I don't know, but I also know that we'd like saved money for the finale and that, you know, at that point, like we were a big hit and they were kind of like, okay, like, what do you, you know, like, do you want to, I guess like being a big hit was like, we'll pay for How Bizarre. So,
you know, you made it when, so Liz.
But we had an amazing, music supervisor.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Who, like, yeah, we did.
That, so, yeah.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to our show. Liz.
Yeah. Liz. So when we were talking about creating this podcast, it was really like spurred on, one, because we missed each other, but two, because we still all get approached, I'm sure you do, all the time by people who have these pretty involved questions usually about the show, and we do our best to answer them, but we are not the all-knowing like you are. So we've been asking listeners to send in their questions.
Luckily, I very luckily don't get approached very much because nobody knows what I look like. So that's awesome. Thank you for taking the
approach. They will now because this is going online.
So we have had people sending in their questions, voice notes, emails throughout our season here on Welcome to Our Show. And saving them up for you. So,
oh my gosh,
are
okay.
A couple cool. For you to solve the mysteries of New Girl with. Here we go.
Hi, all. My name is Lauren, and I'm a huge New Girl fan, as I'm sure many of your other listeners are. It's definitely a comfort show for me, especially as I enter my 20s and mid 20s. But my question pertains to guest stars on the show. I've read on a couple places online that there were some guest stars that requested to be part of New Girl, whether it was for a quick episode or a recurring storyline. And I'm just wondering if that's true. And if it is true, which guest stars were ones that requested to be on the show rather than the crew proactively going out and seeking them to be guest stars? Thanks.
Ooh.
Well, I think Hannah, you know the answer to this. So maybe.
There was one big one that knocked on your door. That's for sure.
Well, Prince. It came to me first, guys. I got the weirdest email of all time. Like, what was it? Season 3 that we had him on? Like, season 2, I got this email like, "Hello, I am manager for legendary artist Prince." And I'm like, this is somebody is pranking me. Like, this can't be real. And so I called my agent and I was like, "Can you see if this is really Prince's manager?" And he checked it out and he was like, "It appears to actually be his manager." at which point I was like, okay.
But the email was written in a ransom note.
It was.
Cut out magazine.
It was a ransom note. And they said, I have Prince. I'm not letting him go until he gets to be on New Girl.
I like that the manager felt the need to put like legendary artist Prince.
Yeah, like, I was like, I know who he is.
As opposed to
That old guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Purple Rain Prince.
Was there anyone else, Liz, that like came to you and said they'd love to be part of the show?
I mean, that's honestly, I guess after that one, everything else kind of faded away. No, I don't remember that, but I remember I remember people being really excited to hear from us. I don't remember like other people.
Did Taylor actively... Swift want to be on? I feel like Taylor Swift liked the show, and that's why we reached out to her.
She liked the show. Yeah, I don't remember the details of like. I remember that she said that she watched it, but where did we hear that? Yeah,
I did. I was asked to give her an award.
Okay. It was probably from you. Yeah.
American, it was like one of these big music Billboard awards maybe in Vegas, and they had asked me because they said she loved New Girl, and so maybe I kind of gave that info to casting.
I remember being at a party, one of those fancy, I don't know, Emmy or something parties, Liz, and you were there.
Were you invited to that party, or did you?
No, I was working. I was catering.
He was working. He was a little side job.
I was catering the party. I remember speaking with Taye Diggs at the party, and him telling me how much he wanted to be on the show, and you were there. And I said, "Well, Liz Merriweather is right over there," and then I just remember him being on the show. I don't remember if you guys spoke. I don't remember. What happened?
I feel like if you'd been like Liz Merriweather's right over there, I would have like hid behind a bush or something. Like, you'd have been like, I don't know where she went. Like, she was right there. That's crazy. Oh yeah, I didn't remember that. I mean, the Taylor Swift thing was like, I was such a huge fan of hers. Like, obviously, because I think her music is on the show like multiple times, and but like, I remember like someone introduced me to her on set, and I just was like, hi. And then like kind of like walked away because I was like, I can't actually speak to you because
I was in charge. Somehow I became in charge of like handling people that were too famous for everyone else to handle. Like Prince, no one wanted to talk to him. And he was like sitting by himself, and everyone was like, Zoe, go sit next to him. So I was like, okay, hey Prince, how you doing? You having fun? You want some snacks or something? Same with Taylor. Like, everyone was too scared to talk to her. So I was like, all right. I sat with her while she got her makeup done. I'm pretty sure I like got her some snacks. She was so low maintenance and low key. She was like, I remember like Georgie, our makeup artist, gave her like, she said, I liked this like lip gloss thing. And Georgie let her have it. And she was like, oh my God, thank you so much.
I never had lip gloss before.
It was so sweet. You know, like, just like, she's just a normal gal. But yeah, somehow like I ended up spending these long
hilarious.
Periods of time
Zoe,
with people
so
because everyone else was afraid of them.
I think like is like, Zoe, I feel like that's technically like should have been my job, but I'm like too awkward and too like, I'm too nervous and awkward to like do that. So thank God we had you.
So honestly, that was like when I was like a kid, I was like the friendly kid that would be like, when there'd be a new kid in class, they'd be like, so we go sit next to them. So I'd always be like the person like, hi, welcome to our class. So maybe I was prepped for it, you know?
Yeah, Lamorne, we had a handler that was like, keep Lamorne away from Taylor Swift. No, I'm just joking.
That's what it felt like. I never met her. I think the schedule was actually changed. I was supposed to be working that day, and then all of a sudden I wasn't, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then the next day I come back into work, everyone was like, man, how crazy was Taylor Swift? Oh man, that was wild. And I was like, a couple questions. One, who is that? And then two, did I miss her? At the time, I don't think I knew who she was.
It is like really wild. I mean, I know we should probably do another question, but it's wild like the guest stars that became famous like after the show. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like Olivia Rodrigo. Like, I was like, did you guys already talk about that? Like, I was like, I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
You know, just like some of the people I was like.
Alexandra Daddario.
Tiffany Haddish.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Tiffany Haddish. Oh my God. And
wait,
Alexandra
was Tiffany
Daddario
on the show? Wait, when was she on the show? Did I work with her?
No, I think no. Me, Damon, I don't think I worked Max. With her. Me, Damon, and Max, I want to say.
Oh my God, that's
Randall?
Incredible.
Who's had that Randall like Park. One line?
Oh yeah, Randall
on
Park
on the show. Yeah.
Quinta.
Yep, Quinta.
Yes.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah. Quinta Brunson.
Oh, Sarah Baker, guys. Sarah Baker. She's so funny. She was on the Kominsky Method. She's like one of the leads on that show. She's really, really funny. Oh, she played the person with the dog, like in one of the final episodes.
Here's the thing. Really funny. I feel like everyone talks about, what was it, NCIS or whatever, and that shoots in, Law and Order, sorry, that shoots in New York. Everyone talks about Law and Order in New York and how it's like a rite of passage and every actor passes through it at some point. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the conversations I have around New Girl now, which is that everybody was at some point on the show, or, and I'm sure, Liz, you hear this too, is that they were almost on the show. That's how people are like, oh my God, I loved you on New Girl. I was almost on that show. I was almost on that show. Yeah. Or the Law and Order of LA.
Every black everybody actor that tested I know for thinks
it.
They were
everyone tested it. For it. Everyone guest starred or almost
everyone
guest starred.
They were like this close to playing Winston.
Everyone.
That's right.
Every actor. Samuel Jackson. Motherfucker, I was this close.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I never told you Samuel Jackson. It's really we tested him. We didn't offer. We tested him.
Beat him out.
Yeah, no, that it really was. I really feel like we got so lucky. We had so many amazing people, and like it because the tone is weird. Like it's not. I mean, I think it's less weird now, but I remember just being like, we need actors who can do a dramatic scene and then also like do the stupidest, silliest, goofiest thing that you can imagine like at the same time, and like we managed to like find those people, which was like great. I mean, the funny thing was like also, you know, the network at that time was just so crazy about ratings, and like they were always like big guest stars, because I guess Britney Spears had done an episode of How I Met Your Mother, and they kept using that as an example of like, it turned the show around, and suddenly everybody was watching it because Britney Spears was on it. And it was like, so we were like, that was, I think, part of the like get Taylor Swift kind of like thing. So, I mean, that it was just, you know, and obviously that's not how TV works, and like, it's actually about like, fans loving the show and like loving the actual characters, but at the time it was like that was this big kind of edict from the network was like get a big star to be on it, you know. It's just, I feel like it's such a like old idea of what television is, but anyway,
it makes for fun viewing.
I remember,
now
I remember running into Rob Reiner like before and I was like, and my mom went to college with him, and they did improv like troupe together. And he was like, oh, like he was aware of the show, and he was like, oh, they were asking me like if maybe I could come and direct some. And I was like, oh my God, like that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. But then when like it came up that we were looking for, you know, my dad, I just feel like, you know, the fact that he like just knew of the show and was like aware of it, I was, you know, it kind of maybe, you know, gave us a little bit of an edge to get a legend.
If we had, I think like, if he said that they approached me about directing it, he definitely passed, because we would have, because we definitely would have hired him to direct it.
Yeah.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to our show. Great question, by the way, Lauren. Thank you for that. All right, next up we have Paris.
Hello, Hannah, Lamorne, and Zoe. I hope y'all are doing good. My name is Paris, and I am from Texas. I have a fun question to ask all of you guys, but a little context. I found out recently that Jennifer Aniston ate the exact same salad for lunch on the set of Friends pretty much every single time she filmed an episode, which is just crazy because that is a lot of salads over the years. So I wanted to ask you guys, was there a favorite snack or a meal that you ate when you were filming New Girl? Did you always have the snack or meal on hand? Was it in your trailer? You know, give me little details. I would love to know. Thanks.
I just want to say this, just to jump right in. Okay, is I remember ordering lunch and then watching just bags of delicious food being delivered to Video Village. So, Liz, what were you eating? What delicious
food? Oh, yeah, the writers
food?
Always
what restaurants
had way
were
better
you eating?
Food. The writers had the best food.
Yeah, you guys had the best food.
What were you?
Break it
which
down.
Which restaurants were you ordering from?
I don't even know how to answer this question. I think the better question is, what didn't I eat while I was working at New Girl? Food was like my only like happy place.
It's just fair.
Like, no. I was just like, so yeah, when you're a writer on a TV show, the studio pays for your lunch. So like they're, you know, you order to like a local restaurant and they bring lunch to you. And so the writer who was on set would often like order lunch with the other writers as opposed to like eating the lunch on set. And I guess apparently that created just years of resentment from
the food that we got was way not, you guys always ordered from way better places than the like actors and crew were offered.
Yeah, I had a lot of IHOP orders. A lot of IHOP.
I remember being like, you guys ordered from where? It was like some like very fancy. Yeah. We were right by Beverly Hills, so there was like a lot of very nice restaurants nearby. I feel like we were mainly like ordering like salads from the commissary.
My food came from 6th Street downtown. No. All shit was coming
no,
from
but there was a shift around season 3 or 4, I think. All of a sudden, the menus got circulated to us, and that was a big day. And I will say, there was a lot of salads then. A lot of very delicious salids that started to turn up.
Yeah, but I mean, I do think, lunch. Like, I feel like just becomes like, I feel like food just becomes like this comfort thing. I mean, it's, it's like, it's definitely like been said before, but it's really there. It's really exhausting making a network show, and the hours are very long. And like, at least, you know, as a showrunner, there really wasn't a moment when I wasn't supposed to be working or like supposed to be in some kind of meeting. Or
you
like
deserved it. You were sleeping on your couch in your office many nights. I don't think I've ever met a person that works harder than you, Liz.
True.
Yeah, I used to. But but I guess like I do feel like the food kind of became this, like, I believe that about Jennifer Aniston. I don't know, like, it just, like, the food kind of becomes your, like, connection to, like, some sort of home or, like, routine where you're, like, oh, like, it's, like, I don't know. That was my feeling, was, like, it was my one moment a day to, like, stop and actually, like sit and eat and not work, which sounds so depressing. Sorry. But, yeah. I definitely remember, you know, being really grateful to be able to, like, at least get some, like, good food in the middle of all the, like, stress and chaos. But it's so interesting, like, on set, because I think there's craft service. So, you know, like, I think everyone, like, has a favorite thing in from craft service that they go to for those moments.
Yeah, what's everybody's favorite crafty snack?
Cashews.
Really?
And those little Snickers.
Salted?
I remember when you were getting shredded up for something, Lamorne, and then you realized that the, like, pounds of cashews you were eating were maybe not the healthiest. Because you were like, I'm just going to eat all these nuts. And you're like, I'm eating 9,000 calories a day. I didn't realize the cashews were doing me like that.
Because here's what they don't tell you about cashews, okay? They're so tiny and they're so delicious, but they pack so much fat. You know what I mean? And you think, oh, I'm going to have a couple handfuls a day. That should do it. No, but if you're trying to reduce calories, your caloric intake, it's not happening. The cashews will fuck you up.
Abs are made in the kitchen.
Definitely do tell you that about cashews.
They do tell you. It's like one of the things they say about cashews.
They've got a little chart.
It's in the marketing packet.
Yes, they're so tiny. They're so tiny, the cashews. They're like this. You know what I mean?
They are tiny.
You think a handful, but there's so much fat in there.
You were so sad. You were like, these nuts have betrayed me.
Yeah.
What was your favorite snack, Hannah?
Ooh, I think initially, I remember rolling up to Crafty and I must have eaten 10,000 bags of Cheez-Its in that first year. But then it shifted into realizing that we could get apples and peanut butter. And then I realized that I'm just a little kid when I go to set. All I want is apples and peanut butter and Martinelli's apple juice.
Okay, I don't want the apple juice, but I would have a green apple with like
green
natural peanut butter, and
Granny
I like
Smith.
Like just a little bit of peanut butter, and you like dip the apples in, and then you know it's like kind of filling and satisfying.
Yeah, here's what I discovered. Here's what I discovered
going,
later.
You know,
I discovered apples and cashew butter. Right,
you gotta let go of the damn nuts.
But you're a cashew fiend.
Anybody knows me? You know I love nuts. If anybody who knows me, that's just been my thing. Stop it, Hannah.
It's your
Hannah,
thing.
Shut up.
I said nothing.
Hannah, shut up.
You said it all with your own mouth and face. You and those nuts. All right, Liz. What did you used to get?
I like how you're like cashew butter, like as if that changes the fact that they're like full of
butter for.
It's on an apple, right? It's on an apple, so I figured the acidicness of
healthy. It's healthy.
Chemical reaction happen in your belly to make it less fattening?
Well, I am not a smart man. I'm not. Never said I was.
Liz, what was yours when you would sneak over to Crafty?
I mean, I don't know. I like definitely feel like I just ate endless amounts of snacks, so I don't even remember. But I just remember like a lot of like coffee and like you know, just like pounding coffee and trying to stay awake. But
we're trying to get a Snickers sponsor. Just say Snickers.
Oh my god, I love Snickers. I genuinely love Snickers.
I mean, who doesn't? I got a coffee maker in my trailer.
I like to dip some Snickers into some cashew butter. That's my way of losing. That's how I lose weight. It's just Snickers and cashew butter.
Thank you.
Secured that one. Secured the bag on that. Thank you very much, Liz.
Now Snickers is sponsoring us. I would say we all agree, right? We would all read ads for Snickers.
Ooh, yeah. I think we basically
just
did. That would
be totally fine.
The cashew Snickers.
We didn't even get paid for that.
I need to ask you, Liz, one question before we end this very detailed recap of our season finale. Who came up, you might not remember, but try. Who came up with this idea to put me on a rocket?
Oh my God. I mean, like, was that okay? I'm so sorry. I don't know. Like, I think, like, the reason that we really went for it was because we wanted Schmidt to be, we needed something that would really, like, make Schmidt feel insecure. So it was like, how do we kind of, you know, I don't know. A lot of those, like, jokes in the early seasons, I think they were, like, supposed to be making fun of, you know, over sexualized ads, but then you're just like on a rocket, Hannah. So like,
then I'm making an over sexualized scene on TV.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know if we like our post feminist take on that actually came through. But I mean, it was like we needed to make Schmidt feel really insecure. So that was like, I don't remember. I don't think I came up with it, but I'm like passing the buck off to like somebody else. But, I mean, obviously it looks like a dick and I'm sorry about that.
You know what? I didn't even clock that in the rewatch. I just remember being like, what? Bizarre. There were so many bizarre photo shoots that CeCe had to do, especially in those first couple years, that they were a wild experience to do. Let's just put it that way. I was like, wow, because you really have to do it. But the good thing was, because it could have gone another way of like trying to make Schmidt jealous, which would be to have
goggles,
hard body, like, do, you know what I mean? Do something or be weird. And that's where I would say it's so important to have women who create shows and run shows and be at the top, because I was never put in a position where it felt weird like that.
I love that you pivoted from you had to sit on a rocket to like, thank God we have women in positions.
I'm pivoting. I'm taking this couch and I'm getting it down the stairs, Liz.
Thank you for saying that. I'm like, I don't know if I would do that now, but saying that.
Yeah. I had a problem.
Lamorne had a big problem with it.
In a later season, we probably would have put Lamorne on the rocket.
Yes,
definitely.
You did have Lamorne say he has thick thighs and a fat ass, though, way out in the desert.
I made that up.
did you really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that made me laugh so hard.
I definitely don't think we would have put that in a script. Yeah.
That really made me laugh. And now that I know that it's you, it's going to make me laugh harder.
First thing was, no, he doesn't.
I do. I definitely do. That's something I've always known about myself. I got cakes.
I wanted to say that something that we like didn't talk about in the recap that I feel like I have to talk about is the like white fang that Schmidt.
Yes. Like, let's talk about white fang. Like,
we like, I don't. It was something that like came up in the writer's room, and it was just one of those things that like made us laugh like so hard. Like, I don't know. And then I was so worried that it wasn't going to translate on set. But then I mean, also it's like he's acting like you're a dog.
Back to your
farm. Can I tell you something?
A little bit like crazy, but then I'm like, I don't know. It was one of those things on set that just made me laugh. Like throughout the process, it made me laugh so hard. And I don't know if it like translates like years later, but I
what gave you the most anxiety on set? Like, because I you were saying like you were worried it wasn't going to translate. Would you say that like that was like a consistent worry, or were there certain things that like gave you anxiety, over the course of the show?
I mean, as a showrunner, I was like, my job was often to like be the negative Nelly sometimes, you know, it was just like things in the writer's room where writers are suddenly like laughing so hard, and like I kind of have to be the one who's like, wait, is that like true to character, is like true to story, or like is that something that like we think is really funny that is actually not funny? And I just like always had to kind of like make those calls, and like I, you know, was definitely wrong sometimes. Like I don't know, but like it was one of those like, just like, are people, do people know what White Fang is? Like, what's like, what, you know, just like, what is the sort of, you know, are they going to get it? Like, is it too broad? This is like a really emotional moment for him. Is it too silly for that moment? You know, just those were the kind of things that I was like constantly like trying to,
yeah.
A lot of the times it was like, how can we make sure that the emotion lands, but then push it to a place of comedy, but not lose the emotion.
I think that was one, that's one thing, like one thing, magic superpower you have, like as a writer, is being able to have an emotional moment play that is very, you know, true and sincere. And then you'll like kind of undercut any, if it was going to maybe be too sweet, you always just undercut it with like a little joke afterwards that makes it like that balances it out. Like there's always just a really great balance of the emotional and the humor in the show. And I definitely credit your sensibility. I think that's like something you do just incredibly well. And it takes so much skill to do that.
It does take a lot of skill. I'm very talented. No, thank you.
You are very talented.
I thank you. I appreciate it. That's so sweet to hear, though. And we had such amazing writers, and obviously, like,
it's
you
true.
Guys were,
we
you,
did.
You guys were improvising, like, so much. And but I think, like, that particular moment, I had that, I just had that worry that I was like, this is too crazy. He's, like, saying, he's calling after her like she's a dog, and like this is the love of his life, and like, is this too crazy? But like, Hannah, do you remember that? Like,
so
like,
here's my memory of it. So it was a long, dusty day in the desert, and I had a bit to do, but not a ton to do. And that White Fang go on get scene was the last thing that we shot, and it was just Max and I. So I think I honestly had gone back to my trailer, and we had to wait for nightfall. Then we did the coyote thing first. So I was just, and I wasn't in any of that. So I was sitting in the trailer for hours and hours and hours and hours. And I think Jake must have not been in something either. And so I remember going to sit in his trailer, and we were chatting, and he had a bottle of Southern Comfort.
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
And it was Jackson, so, Johnny Walker Blue.
And I had a shot, I think, and we were just talking, and it was just so weird because that night it was going to be over, and it was like still felt like a total dream that I was somehow on this big American network TV show. And I was trying to think of this White Fang scene, which felt really silly and fun. But then he said something really casually, kind of like, well, you know, hope to see you in a few months and we get to do this again. And I went back to my trailer, and then I went, oh my God, it just hit me for the first time. This might be it. This could get canceled and we never do it again. Like, I don't know. It happens all the time to really good shows and you just don't know. And they have to wait another hour or two and by myself. Oh, and then I came out and there was Max, who I think is such a phenomenal actor, and he just knows how to ride that line of being so real in his hurt, but also, and while he's saying silly stuff, but he can just do it. And it was so late, and I was so exhausted, and it was cold and out there, and I just kept thinking I could get this call saying that, you know, it's over and it's done, and I started to cry. And I remember shooting that scene, and it felt so real. Somebody just being like, it's over. Like, get out of here. We don't need you anymore. It's done. And that's how I truly, genuinely felt in it. When I watched it last night, like, it just reminded me of standing there really feeling like the depth of somebody ending something with you when you're not ready yet. And I don't know. It's funny that you have this anxiety of like, was it going to land, and was it going to have the emotion behind it? And it was perfect.
I was going to say, watching it, I was so impressed by how silly the performance was of Max. And yet you managed to channel Denzel Washington from Glory with that one single tear. Two different circumstances for sure. But, you know, we all seen Glory. We know
it wasn't
what was going
an
on
ugly cry.
Scene.
It was a very pretty cry. Pretty cry. A Denzel
tear.
Pretty cry.
Yeah.
No,
one
but
tear.
I mean, Hannah, like, Lamorne is a Josh in you, but I really. I think, unless you were thinking about Denzel Washington.
I
think about Denzel Washington in Glory, and I cry all the time.
That is a iconic moment when Denzel's just standing there, and he has one tear right in that moment, and Hannah does it, and the music timed perfectly, and then she walks up. I said, I could never get one tear.
I was going to say, like, I think, Hannah, you, in that scene, were the reason that, like, it could work. You know what I mean? Because it was like, you gave this... You know, it's less obviously like less flashy than like Max like screaming "Get" and stuff. But like you're grounding, and you did that so many times on the show. But like your grounding kind of like emotional presence allowed him to kind of like be silly in this way that like kept the tone going and kept it real. And I really felt that was such a beautiful performance in that moment. And like obviously it's like. Like I said, it's not the actor who gets to kind of like do the silliest thing, but it's like it's the balance that makes the comedy work, you know. So I don't know. That was a great moment.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it, and it's where I found like a real rhythm. I feel like with Max too, right? To kind of like you could just like sit in it with him, and it set us up for the fact that we did get to come back again and again and again and again. This has been really fun recapping this episode. Maybe when we finish season two, Liz, we're going to bug you again.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. We would take you out for ice cream, Liz. we would this time we'd owe you a real, real nice soft serve.
A real treat. Really quick, did you find a bear, Hannah? And Liz,
oh,
is that
yes,
a real
I have to
thing?
Ask you, Liz. Oh, my gosh, I have to ask you. So every single episode, I've been doing Where's the Bear? Now it's time for Where's the Bear?
Where's the Bear?
Where's the Bear is brought to you by Hyundai. When it comes to your journey, Hyundai is thinking of every mile. There is this big rumor going around. I know you know. Saying that there is a bear intentionally put somehow in every single episode. And there are websites dedicated to it and Reddit threads. And I have hunted it. I will say about like what, 65% of the time, there is some sneaky ass bear there. So you have to now address this here on the spot. Tell me, am I on a fool's errand? What's up with the bear?
I mean, look, it's never a fool's errand to look for a bear in every episode.
You're going to keep me hunting.
Of a show. Yeah, no, I definitely wasn't intentional. I do think that bears are like very funny. I think it's a very funny word. And I think it like, I just remember in the pilot, Damon being like, bears! And like that, just remember like that was like a really funny moment in the pilot. I hate to disappoint you. It definitely wasn't intentional, but I think that like subconsciously, ooh, there are probably like a million bears in the show because like, when you think something's funny or like a funny word, I think you just keep going for it. I always thought pants was a funny word. So I feel like there's like a lot of like pants. Like,
well, don't do that. Now season two, I got to look for bears in pants. You got to do that right now?
All the time.
You could damn just it. Switch. Change the course
season
now.
Season two is for pants. Hunting for pants.
I'm going to say confidently there are pants in every episode.
I can't believe we never put Lamorne in like bear pants.
Yes.
Well, if you would have had me with no pants, you would have seen how hairy I am. And then it would have looked like bear pants for sure. I do not shave.
Thanks for helping us with our bear hunt Hyundai. Remember, with Hyundai, it's all about the journey. Whatever your destination, they've got the latest tech to get you there safe and keep your passengers entertained along the way. From shopping to buying to owning, Hyundai has your back. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Liz, thank you very much.
Yes, like thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Please come back. Please play True American with us next time.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Will you come back?
For doing this. Yes, of course. And thank you for doing this. And like also thank you for, you know, obviously all the work you guys did on this show, because it's the reason that anyone is still interested in it is because of you guys. And I just like thank you so much for
everything.
Bears. We love you. We love
Bears.
Bears.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zoe Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zoe Deschanel, performed and produced by Zoe Deschanel and Pierre DeReeder. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at Welcome to Our Show Podcast at gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.